welcome to Section 9. My name's Damien Hall.
And I'm Dorothy. And today we're going to be talking about policies and procedures. What are they? Why do we need them? And how do they apply to information security? And the reason why we chose this topic is we have a dear friend in IT, and she was having some issues, so she called Damien for help. And one of the things we quickly realized is that she was addressing a problem that happens more often than not in IT. So why don't you share the story?
So she called and she said she was having some kind of an issue with switches. And we really couldn't help her because we didn't know how the network was put together. And we, you know, we couldn't see a network diagram or anything like that. And she wasn't too sure how that was supposed to be put together either. And after the phone call, I was thinking about that and I thought, well, I don't have any documentation on that, which is why I can't help her. And I'm guessing she didn't have any either. And that's why she was calling to try to figure out, you know, how do I do this? And so that's something that you see a lot in IT where there just isn't enough documentation for you to figure out how things are put together. And so you're stuck in that situation that she was in. How do I do this? I don't know. And you have to end up calling somebody who put it together to figure it out. And even then, it may be kind of difficult. So a lot of IT organizations, a lot of IT departments are in that situation where they have either no documentation or what they have is not enough for you to figure anything out. And then you have no standards, everybody doing kind of their own thing. And it's really just a kind of a disaster.
And, you know, it was really interesting when you were working for the ISP because they were actually, you know, they had a standard for things.
Yeah. And what was interesting about that, and we'll get to the standards part later on, but what was interesting about their situation, and I didn't realize this until after I'd been working with them for a while, they were talking about, you know, back in the old days when things just didn't work very well because there were no standards, there was no documentation. And so when something went offline, that was it. It would take hours for them to figure out how to bring it back online. And that's not a situation you want to be in. But as we have an example here of our friend, she's in that same situation. She doesn't know what to do with those devices. And that happens all the time. Now, in our own network, you've seen it happen here. I didn't have a lot of documentation for this network. Now, it's a little different because I kind of built this network out of need, out of necessity, because I wanted to learn stuff. But you were here when, remember the switch situation,
mm-hmm. Right?
We wanted to configure a switch on the network. And we tried logging in. And what happened? I couldn't remember what the password was.
And I think a big part of it for us is that we change the lab so often that sometimes we kind of have a tendency to neglect the documentation because we do this so often that it's like, okay, well, we'll just document it later.
Right. And that goes with my Kali Linux labs. You know, I'm trying to use Metasploitable 2, OpenVAS, Nessus. And what happens? I find out that Metasploitable 2 is not working properly. I got to figure that out. I find out that I'm not on the right network. I'm on the production side when I should be on the lab side. And then when I move to the lab side, it's like, okay, what IP addresses do I have for my own little subnet? I can't figure this out. What's going on? And so instead of actually working on my project, what am I doing? Troubleshooting, figuring out what I have. And that should have been documented. There should be a procedure for that, especially on our lab. As you said, we make so many changes without a process. We're just going to end up in a situation where nothing works because we're not documenting it.
So having said that, define for us policies and procedures.
So a policy is something you apply network-wide or to a department. And what you're trying to do here is you want to ask them to do something. Occasionally, you will ask them not to do something, but for the most part, you want them to do something. So for example, you may have a password policy that states all passwords should be at least 10 characters long. All passwords will be changed every 128 days. And then your procedure is how you're going to implement that. So for example, if it's a Windows domain environment, maybe you do that with Active Directory and group policy. Let's say, for example, you have another policy that you ask people not to do something. So for example, we're not going to allow people to access social media sites from the company network. So no Facebook. That's the company policy. The procedure is, how are you going to do that? And maybe you have somebody configure the firewall to block social media sites like Facebook.
So basically what you're saying is the policy is for the IT department and the end user. they're both notified of this policy. But it's actually the IT department that puts that policy into a procedure that ends up affecting the end user. So if you're saying, okay, minimum of 10 characters for your password, and an end user ends up using 8, you know, the computer is going to complain and it's going to go, yeah, I don't think so. Policy dictates, or something will come up and say, no. And so that's what you're talking about. While the end user is affected by it, the actual people putting this policy into a procedure would be the IT department.
Correct.
Okay.
And you want to do two things here. You want the end user to know it's supposed to be 10 characters mm-hmm. because they're going to type in 8 and they're going to wonder why it doesn't work. And then they're going to call you. So you're going to avoid that call by letting them know what the policy is. And then you're also going to tell them why you're doing this. You're going to say, well, we need to be more secure, and that's why we have 10 characters. And that's also why we have a policy of 128 days. You have to change that. So you're making them part of that process to improve how things are done within that organization. And then you're going to have policies and procedures for IT only, where you have a policy for, let's say, deploying Windows 10. And then you have a procedure for doing that. So that's what you have for policies and procedures. Now, why do we have them? Well, you have them to avoid all of the things we were talking about before, right? Those disasters, that situation where things don't work. You don't understand how things were put together. A policy and a procedure helps you define how things are put together. So in one example we have here, we can say, okay, I'm going to set up a router. And my router is going to use OSPF as a routing protocol. And you set up another router, and you have a router that's going to use EIGRP as a routing protocol. Well, that's not going to work. These two routers are not going to be able to talk to each other. Now, that's a really extreme example of that. But what we're trying to get across here is that we're not talking to each other. There's no standard. You don't know what you're supposed to use. I don't know what I'm supposed to use. So a policy for that particular situation may be all routers will use OSPF as the routing protocol. Right? So now we know that's the company policy. And then we're going to have procedures defining what goes into that.
So give us some examples about some of the IT policies that would only apply to the IT department and some of the procedures besides the router one. What else is there? You know, how to update workstations and laptops? You know, explain that to me.
Right. So for us here, you know, we want to talk about when do we update laptops and workstations, right? Because we don't always do that, right? We're in information security and we don't always do that. I mean, when we do our show, what happens on my laptop? It's Windows 10. And what happens? It comes up and it says, you have updates. Mm-hmm. You should download them. And you always complain because I never do that.
Well, what we need to do is actually set some policies for us, you know, just kind of make it into a project and actually implement some standards. So when you're not able to maybe do the updates, then I can step in and do it. And
right. So this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to come up with a policy for things like, when do we update our workstations and laptops?
Okay.
When do we update servers? How do we update our production servers? Because we have production servers, right?
Right.
Our web server, our DNS server, those are things in the cloud. How do we make sure those are up to date? We have our Synology disk station, which is also a production server. How does that get updated?
And, you know, you've been doing this on your own whenever you can, whenever you find time. But, you know, there's going to be a time that you're not going to have the time to do it. And then if we have something documented to where I can step in and do it, you know, that would be good, especially with all our labs and everything that we have going on.
And that's another reason why you do these kinds of things, because then you know what's expected, right? And then if I'm not here, you can pull up the documentation and you can follow along.
Okay, so all of this is all really pretty and everything, but how does it apply to information security?
So in information security, you want to have a defined process for implementing security company-wide. And one thing you can do that relates to all of this is using the Center for Internet Security's information, right? They have the top 20 security controls. So you can say, okay, we're going to take the top 5 and we're going to implement these. That would be your policy, right? You're going to have a policy for the top 5, and then you're going to have a procedure for each one of those things. And that's how you're going to know that your organization is more secure than it was before, because you have a policy and a procedure to go with all of that. And you're getting, you know, industry standards, right? These are recognized by the industry as being something that is going to make your organization more secure. And then your procedure is going to have, you know, the steps necessary, the devices you're going to have, the tools you're going to use for all of that. You know, how are these things going to get implemented? That's where your procedures come into play. And then everybody knows on the IT side of things, this is what we do. And anything that you want your end users to know, there's going to be a policy that you share with the end user. And you're going to have a procedure that you implement behind the scenes. And then there's going to be things that you want to do on the IT side, where there's a policy and a procedure that only IT gets to see. So for example, the Center for Internet Security has, I call them baselines, but they're not baselines. They're kind of security options, right? So they may have 30 options for Windows 10 or 20 options for Windows 7. And these are options that you can apply to Windows 7 and Windows 10 that are going to make it more secure. And you have to decide which ones you want to use in your particular situation. So you would sit down with people, your team, and you would say, okay, out of the 30 options we have, which ones do we want to implement? And they may say, okay, these five look good. Let's try those. That becomes your company policy, right? All Windows 10 systems will follow these particular security recommendations from the Center of Internet Security. And then you're going to have a procedure that specifies how you're going to do that. And you may incorporate that into something like an image that you can deploy across the entire organization to all your Windows 10 systems. And you know you're secure because there's a policy and a procedure to make it all happen.
So whether it is networking as well as information security, policies and procedures, it's something that you have to have. You know, I mean, there is no escaping it, no matter what, whether you're doing the network part of it as well as the security. But here is something that concerns me. I know why we neglect our documentation. You know, our labs are really fast. We're changing them all the time, you know, but I'd like to know how come documentation is the one thing that keeps coming up. Why aren't people doing it like in production environments? And, you know, why is it neglected? I guess I should say, because I'm sure there is an effort to do it. It's just that it seems to be an upcoming problem more often than not.
It is. And I think what happens is when you try to do documentation, it's hard to do. It's hard to do it right. And the other part of it is it's not a policy to do that.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because when I was working for the ISP, they were in the process of implementing better solutions for that. And they didn't call it a policy or a procedure, but they incorporated the entire department in the process. And this is where I think things kind of fall apart for most IT, you know, departments, in that if I document a server, that's fine. If I document a switch or a router, that's fine. But where's the policy that defines what's supposed to be on that system to make sure it works with the rest of the network, to make sure people understand why it was configured that way and what to expect when they log into that device? One of the things that we have in the current organization I work for on our Windows servers is something called volume shadow copy. What is volume shadow copy? It's awesomeness. It backs up all the files on that system, or ones we specify, 3 times a day, so that when somebody calls us, they can say, hey, I've lost a file. I'm terrified. What's going on? I can't. Oh my God, this is the end of the world. Don't worry, we can put that back. And we can specify which one we get. Do we get it from the 7 a.m. copy, the noon copy, or the 4 p.m. copy? We'll put it back. And they're like, oh my God, you're awesome.
Magic.
The problem we had when we implemented that is that not all servers had that. So that's where company policy comes into play. And you go, okay, team, when you deploy a Windows file server, you better have volume shadow copy enabled on all shares. And here's how you're going to do that. So if you're part of the service desk, you know, your help desk, you don't deploy servers, you're just help desk. You know, company policy says volume shadow copy should be implemented on all Windows servers. So when somebody calls and they say, oh my God, I lost a file. This is it. It's the end of the world. No, it's not. I'll put the file back because we have volume shadow copy. I know, because it's a policy. That's where things become awesome. That's where policies and procedures become magic, because the entire organization is like, oh, we have that. I can save you.
Right. But I mean, I can't help but to think, what is it? Is it that people get too busy and they go, I'll do it later, like we sometimes do? Or is it no time? Or is it, what is it?
When you implement something like this, it has to come from the top down, and it has to be, you know, IT wide or company wide.
So you're saying that there isn't a policy to it, and that's why it gets neglected?
That's exactly why it gets neglected. So for example, if we're going to say no Facebook on the network, I can't say that from IT. Corporate has to say that, or management has to say that, because management has to be the one that says, we don't allow Facebook on this network because it's not secure, it's taking up our bandwidth, and it's not good for business. And so the policy also has to have consequences to certain things, right? So if you are not following the policy and you are trying to use Facebook or something else on the network that shouldn't be there, here is what will happen to you. We'll give you a warning, we'll give you a third warning, what have you, and then that's it, you're fired. So there has to be a consequence to that. That's one side of it. And oftentimes, nobody's really willing to do that. If the policy doesn't have teeth to it, then nobody's going to bother following that. The other side of that is when you talk about, let's say, deploying Windows 10 or things like volume shadow copy, you have to get buy-in from the entire department. Somebody has to say, this is the standard. If you're not going to follow the standard, we're going to kick you out.
So I guess, do you think that that's a breakdown in communication between the business side of things and the IT department? Because they may not understand how crucial documentation is for the IT department or for the business to be able to recover or, you know, do what they need to do.
There is that. So there are policies that affect certain parts of the business, certain aspects of how things are done. And that's where management has to play a role in all of that. And IT and business, they don't always communicate well together. In fact, a lot of times IT people would prefer not to talk to the business people, and the business people think that IT is just a bunch of crazy people that make work harder for them because we can never get anything done. That's a big issue. But when it comes to something like volume shadow copy, IT can implement that without the business side knowing anything about that. And we can pretend like we're magicians. Oh, I can recover your file for you. Magic. Look at that. It's back. You just have to put in the couple of hours that you're missing. Put that back and you're fine.
I guess to me, if I was a company and I lose my IT manager and then somebody comes along and they can't tell how the network is put together, my main priority as a business is like, I'm not going through this again. One of the things that we need to implement is documentation. So the next time that you leave or the next IT department or IT manager leaves, at least we have something for the next person to step in and take a look at.
Yeah, but it goes back to having people who understand the value of policies and procedures and documentation and making that a priority for the entire organization or the entire IT department. So even if you're talking about just IT things and not anything to do with upper management in terms of the corporate side of the organization, just within IT, that's usually where the breakdown happens.
Right.
It's that you have IT people who don't value policies and procedures or any kind of documentation. It's like, oh, I got it in my head. I'm good to go. Right. I know how this was configured. Well, what about the next person that comes in when you're not here? What about when this thing goes offline?
What if you get run over by a bus and you're not there tomorrow with your mind and everything in your head?
And I asked somebody about that. You know, what happens if somebody goes away and you don't have them? Oh, well then I don't know.
Right.
You know, and I said, okay, if you have a system that somebody else configured and it breaks down, what do you do? Oh, we just called the other guy who put it together. What if they're not there? Oh, well, I don't know. I guess we're out of luck.
So I guess they don't have an incident response. No, I'm just kidding. They don't have a plan, I guess, on how to deal with things like that.
Exactly right. They have no plan on how to deal with some of this stuff. And they don't even think about that because even, you know, a lot of times you're in situations where things are running and you're like, oh, it's good. Oh, we're good. And this was one of the things we were talking about at one of our ISACA meetings. We were talking about IT complacency where, oh, hey, it's working. We're good. I don't need to touch it. Hey, it's good. It's still running. Oh, we're good. Don't need to touch it. When it goes offline, Where's the documentation? I don't know. Oh my God. What are we going to do? This is mission critical. They need it now. You can't bring it back online. Why? You don't have enough documentation to do so. And it may be a situation where there is a process, you just don't know what that is.
So what are the lessons learned?
So I think for us, we are in that situation where we can't, you know, going forward, as I said, with my projects, I'm wasting my time. I'm spending all this time trying to troubleshoot things and not actually getting my project done. And you're on your safe side of the network. So what you do doesn't necessarily affect what I do. But at some point, you're going to move off of that and want to join the rest of the network because you may have a project where you need access to things like the VMware server. You want to put a VM on there. You want to be able to do something that's fancier than what you have on your existing safe zone of the network that we have here. Once you start doing that, then we have this situation of who's doing what when. And it's like when I was with the ISP, one of the things that they would do is they would say, okay, you're trying to implement a project. We get that. It's supposed to be done. We get that. What about other people on the network trying to implement their own project? Is your project going to affect their project? So there are some things you can see here where we're going to start stepping on each other if we're not careful.
Well, I think for me is we need to sit down and figure out, you know what? I mean, I don't want to be like one of those IT people that doesn't have any documentation on the way in or on the way out. I don't want to look like an ass on the way out, you know, thinking, wow, this person didn't document anything and they did a terrible job. And I definitely don't want to look incompetent by not, and you know, having some type of process that I can say, okay, I don't know where anything is in the network. How do I find out where everything is? So I guess we got a lot to talk about after today's show.
So what this is what I was thinking too. You know, I thought about all of the issues that people have, all of the issues that we've had over the years with password situations. I can't log into a device. We're in a situation where it takes too long to get a project done because we're troubleshooting instead of doing the project.
Right.
We may step on each other as we get fancier with our projects. So we need to sit down and come up with a process and a policy and a procedure for the things that we know need to be done. How do we back up our web server? How do we back up our DNS servers? How do we do our production side? That's important. Right. How are we going to do the lab side? You know, what policies and procedures are going to work well for us so that we're notifying each other of what's going on? We're keeping track of all the changes. We have backups for things. Because I know we had a process of backing up our main switch on the network that makes up our lab side of the network. I don't know where that configuration is anymore. I forgot. Mm-hmm. So those are the kinds of things that we need to sit down and talk about because, you know, people may be listening to this show and they're going to say, well, it's boring. I don't want to listen to this. This is why I don't need this.
Well, it's a dry subject.
Well, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
I bet money their documentation is not as good as it could be. And I also bet money there are people listening who have very little documentation and they're in the same situation as a lot of people. I got it in my head. Or somebody else knows how that was configured. I don't need to write it down.
Or I'll remember how to do this when the next time that I do it. So, you know, for me, I got a lot to work. I have a lot of work to do when it comes to this.
And the cool thing about all of this is that I'm going to learn about policies, procedures, how to put them together. And it's not that I don't know how those work or how they go together, but practice is where I need to focus some of my efforts on, is practicing how do we do these things, making sure that these things work for us and documenting some of this stuff. And also when we do these kinds of things, you can say at some point when you're in an interview or something like that, and they ask you about policies and procedures. Oh, hey, I work, you know, I did for Section 9, we did policies and procedures.
Mm-hmm.
I went and did a policy for change management. I went and did some procedures for updating workstations and laptops. We did one for Windows 10, did one for Linux. We did one for servers, you know, so you can say, I've done these and we're going to walk through the process so that as we do them, we write them down. And then you go ahead and do them and write them down again so that you get used to doing these things. And then eventually.
Well, one of the things that I found very useful, and it was on the baby projects that I did as I was documenting them. You know, the first time around, I thought, ooh, I got my documentation. And then I tried it the same project the second time. And it's like, ooh, I'm missing a step here. And you said to me, you got to do it several times because, you know, you can have the best intentions to document what you're doing. You're going to miss something. You need to be very specific, super detailed, you know, almost to the point of you know, neurosis, I guess. But at the end of the day, if you do that and you do your project several times, you may be able to produce some really good documentation that can carry you, you know, in production or in your work environment. And you can say, wait a minute, I have a process for that. I've done this before. And guess what? It may be a different device that the configuration may differ, but the basics are the same. You know, so.
Right. And then when it comes to things like disaster recovery, I'll give you another example of that. You know, at work, something went wrong and things were offline. I'm like, okay, they're offline. Now what? So little by little, and I was new and there was, again, no documentation. Mm. So I wasn't sure what to do. So I figured out how to get them back online. And I'm like, okay, it's back online. Oh, safe. We're good. Right. I get to keep my job. And then I did something wrong. I didn't document what I did. So that situation happened again. And I'm like, what did I do last time? How did this work? What, you know? Right. So eventually what ended up happening is I created a checklist for disaster recovery. Nothing fancy, just some basic steps to bring certain things back online when they go offline for some reason. And they had some other stuff in there with passwords and little procedures for doing some things that we do off and on, but not enough to where we remember them all the time. So that's something we also need to have. And again, that goes to your sanity. That goes to what do I do when the person who set this up is not there? What happens in a disaster? Because that's when you're like, oh my God, what do I do? Oh, follow the instructions. We're good. You know. So those kinds of things are going to help us improve our own lab. And then when you leave this lab and go to that job interview and they say, well, where's your experience? You can use that and say, I've done these things. Look at what I've done. This is how we did them.
And for those of you that are trying to get into IT and trying to get all this to practice documentation, you know, to give it a shot and see how difficult you may find it to be and get a process going because it will be helpful. It will save you a lot of time and effort. Definitely. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, hold on. Before we do that, remember, I got to talk about how they're going to send us the emails.
Oh, okay.
So if you have any comments or questions, you can send us an email at info@section9.us. And then if you want to take a look at our show notes, you can go to section9.us.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.